Our reading this evening is taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 23. Luke chapter 6, verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Rejoice. That's what our Lord tells us to do. Rejoice in that day. This verse we've read actually divides Jesus' sermon. Jesus is teaching. He spoke it in two parts. The first part is the blessings. The blessings to God's people. And the second part is the woes. The woes to those who do not listen. I thought I'd continue in what I spoke of last time. But let us look at the blessings. This passage is called the Sermon on the Plain, or the level ground. Now, I was reading some commentators and they would have it that it is the same as Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. That doesn't seem right to me. It does contain similar teaching. Matthew has 9 Beatitudes while Luke only has 4. And yet, Matthew had Jesus addressing the disciples. And Luke here is addressing the multitude. And Matthew's text seems to be tending towards the more spiritual. Because he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. But we are just having Luke, that we will be filled. Although the meaning is the same, the words are slightly different. It's similar in content, but it's for me a different event. For in verse 17, it says, and he came down with them, them being the disciples. And he stood in the plain, he's no longer on a mount. And the company of the disciples and a great multitude of people came out of Judea and Jerusalem and from Tyre and Sidon. Definitely a different place. He was amongst the people. He went down and he spoke. Whereas before he went up. Now it's important, I believe it's important, to establish the truth from the scripture. And not to try to imply our own ideas and opinions. It might be a small thing about where the place is. But there are different places. So many people seem to imply their own opinions. And so get something different out from what the text is saying. That it is of similar teaching, I do not dispute. But it does show that Jesus' message is constant, consistent, and repeated to different people and the same people. How many times did he berate his disciples, his friends, for not understanding what he was talking about? Now, if he'd spoken only once, I can understand that. But he spoke many times. To them and to others. Sometimes repeating himself, sometimes also altering the illustration to help them understand better. But he was consistent. Always pointing to the kingdom. Always pointing to their God. You know, we have the same difficulty with people today. We can share the gospel. We can share it again and again. Until finally, after many times of hearing it, they may accept Jesus. It's difficult for us at times. We're thinking, don't they understand what we're saying? Don't they know what we're saying? Why can't they accept Jesus? Why can't they turn to him? Why can't they hear what I'm saying? Jesus had the same problem even with his disciples. It's encouraging. It encourages us to continue with the same message. We have the same problem with teaching believers. I've had it said often to me, you know, I've heard that many times, but I've only just understood. We're all like that. We all grasp something at some time in our life. We may have heard it 100 times, but sometimes it clicks. That's what they say, it clicks. And the truth is before us. It's an event in our Christian journey of growth. The Holy Spirit finally breaks through. And we see it. It's our growth, our maturity. And we understand more of God's kingdom and our relationship to Him. And this piece of scripture has been read many times and spoken about many times. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Rejoice in that day? What day is this that is mentioned? Is it Jesus' return to earth? His second coming? Is it our ascension into heaven? Well, I'm sure we'll leap for joy. I'm sure we'll rejoice in that day. And yes, we should rejoice in that day. But no! Is it a day that God blesses us with all the riches in heaven? No, it's not. It is any day. It is every day when we suffer for Christ's sake. We have these Beatitudes and they show us as much. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed be the poor. For the kingdom, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, and ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep, and ye shall laugh." We are suffering for Christ's sake. You know, I hear so much nowadays from Christians. They ask the questions. Why has the Lord allowed that to happen to me? Why doesn't God help me in this situation? Questions, yes, that need answering. Because, yes, we want to know why we're suffering. We want to know why He hasn't answered us in a situation as we seem to think He should. But they're not questions for the most part. They bring into question God's authority and His power. They're moanings. Oh, I'm in a terrible situation and God's not helping me. That's what they're saying. Why? Why am I in this situation? Why has God allowed? They're moanings. They're not questions. We are sometimes called a nation of moaners. The Australians have got us, haven't they? They've noted us for that. They call us whinging poms. And perhaps they're right. We are a nation of moaners. But not when it comes to God. For we are of a different nation. We are now a people of God. We are citizens of heaven. We've changed our allegiance from that of the world to that of God. And we should now be noted for our joy, our perseverance, our patience, our holiness. Rejoice in that day. And we are, for the part, sometimes people recognise there is a difference in our lives. But in this nation that we live in, it's so difficult to recognise a Christian at times. The lines get merged. Christians and believers seem to become intermingled into an undefined fog of uncertainty. We should be certain. For we must be blessed by God. For he tells us here, we are blessed. Blessed are the poor. And we're not talking about earthly riches though. Although a significant part of the church would say we are. You're a Christian. God should be blessing you. You should be rich. You shouldn't be poor in poverty. That's what they tell us. That is not what they're saying. We're talking about those believers who recognise the poverty of their spirituality. We can look to Matthew for a greater clarification. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what it is. Those that recognise their total dependence on God. Their total dependence on our Lord Jesus. We are poor in spirit and we know it. It's no wonder we should be happy. We should be joyous. For we are lost. We are lost and now we've been found. Our Saviour has found us and we have found our Saviour. And he is ours forever. And we recognise that we were so poor in spirit that we couldn't be saved on our own merit. Blessed are the hungry. Again, we're not talking about material bread. We're talking about those who yearn for the spiritual food. And isn't that Jesus himself? The bread of heaven. Jesus supplies that food. We're talking about those people who seek out his words. Words of truth. And apply them to their daily lives. And we rejoice in that. As we follow God's words. And we work them out. Blessed are those that weep. We weep, or we should be weeping, for our sins that we've committed. The severe position we find ourselves in. And when I read of the revivals that took place in the past, old swathes of people are struck with a debased humanity. They cry out en masse and cry out to God for forgiveness. They're on their knees in tears. Not for a short time either. Sometimes for days. It's not the revival that we see nowadays. The planned revival meetings. Where people are worked up into a frenzy. With hypnotic music. And many suggestions. That's not a revival. That's just a distortion of the true gospel. And people just coming for a good time. Yet many are seeking God. For they know. They lack something. And they're mourning over it. We're blessed. When men hate us. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. We see it throughout the world, don't we? Our brothers and sisters, they're put out, third class citizens. The article about Pakistan and Barnabas reaching out to them at the moment in the notices. They're not receiving the food. We're giving aid and our Christian brothers and sisters are not receiving it. They're even threatened. You can have some food if you convert back to Islam. We are hated. We don't see it so much in this country. But it is getting worse. Although the larger church would like to be seen as a comfortable institution. Helping those with social needs. And not upsetting the status quo. Why should people hate us? Because we bring the gospel. It states, man is depraved. And lost in sin. and need saving. No one wants to be told they're wrong, let alone that they're a sinner. Many a discussion I have, I've been a good person. I'm going to get to heaven because I haven't hurt anybody. I follow my own little way. And I haven't offended anybody. They've offended God. And they don't realise it. And they don't want to be told about it. It's no wonder they hate us. Because we follow Jesus. And he brings them up with a start. And if they recognise him, they have to change their lives. And they're happy in their lives. Or so they think. The gospel calls for repentance. But even among men nowadays, it's hard to find an apology. Our nation has shifted. Where people were polite before, it's even hard for the courteous little conversation. Look at our politicians. Even when they're found to be wrong, they defend their wrongdoing until election is in view. And they suddenly turn round and change their ways as they need your vote. True repentance starts with the heart, not with the pocket or the career. Rejoice. That's what our Lord has told us. Rejoice in that day. Rejoice today. For it is time of persecution and opposition. You know, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to feel joy when things are getting difficult. To feel joy when people oppress you. But we're being blessed by God. We are God's army. And I was thinking of soldiers going off to war. And they do rejoice, don't they? They have the army musicians leading them through the streets. They sing their victorious songs. And I'm sure they're dreaming of glory and victory. They are rejoicing. Yet in the battle and before the battle, there is fear. There is trepidation. There is question. There is hesitation. And we're very much like those soldiers. But with a difference. They have some dim hope of a victory. They may or they may not be victorious. But we have a sure hope. For the victory's already been won. Yes, we are in a battle. But the war has been won. We can rejoice for Jesus as that victory. And we will share in his reward. Our reward is stated there, isn't it? Behold, your reward is great. It's not small. It's great. What a wonderful word. Great. And in heaven itself. It is difficult. I find it difficult. But we don't rejoice enough. I think partly that's due to our reserve. We tend to stand back from things. I know I do. But we are affected by those things around us. The pressures and the difficulties of this world. They can get us down. Even the greatest saints have suffered from depression. But there's still a joy there, isn't there? And sometimes we're so taken up with the world that we don't acknowledge what God is doing for us. The world runs along, doesn't it? It's called a rat race. And it does become a rat race. And we've got to find those times where we can sit down and be quiet and reflect on God's word and what he has done for us and what he is doing for us. And what we are doing for him. We need to focus more on God. More on Jesus. You know, right in the first hymn, it talks about the woes that we're suffering. But then he talks about the joy of the cross and the victory. We need to take hold of God's promises, for he keeps each one of us. We need to take hold of God's word as he describes the heaven that we're going to end up in and the rewards that we're going to have. But we have a reward in Jesus already, and we have our heavenly destination. You know, I hear and read of persecution and oppression in other parts of the world, and it makes me feel angry. I'm sure God is angry about those things. What is happening to my brothers and sisters? And it does get you down, because at first you think, well, I've got no power over what's happening to them. I can't help. But we can. God has given us prayer itself. We can pray into those situations, for God is already there. And we must realise that. He is with them. He is suffering with them. They know him. They know his blessings, and they are rejoicing in their suffering. It appears to me, the more we are persecuted, the more we rejoice. Perhaps it's because under persecution the church loses those churchgoers. Those who just come along because it's a nice thing to do. And under persecution, we're only left with the believers. But as we're persecuted, and as we lose all those things that are superfluous to our faith, we're left to depend totally on God. We're left to depend on his support and what he gives us. And we see more of that direct support. Whereas before, we're buffered by the things around us. Our faith is drawn out as we depend more and more on him. Perhaps we have an easy living at times, and we don't acknowledge God. Suffering happens. It's happening, and it has happened. For doesn't he tell us? For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. The prophets suffered. We look back at them and see them as great men. But they had their problems as well. The saints have suffered down the ages, and we will continue to suffer until that final day, when we are gathered together and elevated to heaven. Following the verse we read, we have a contrast, don't we? For each blessing, for each joy we have received, there's also a curse, that woe, that warning to the world. There is a contrast between us and the world. And as I said, Christians seem to merge into society nowadays, and there should be a greater contrast. The world will continue to celebrate their lifestyle. These woes, they are for them. Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn. And woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Their lifestyle is false. They might be celebrating now. They might be living it up. But their reward is there for them, there and no longer afterwards. The rich of this world have received their reward in their riches. Those who have eaten well of this world will feel hunger in the next. for the world is a world of frivolity. They're partying and they're ignoring their Saviour. But their judgment will come. There will be a time of mourning for them. You know, the Psalms always have this contrast, don't they? Of the believer suffering and the evil men doing well. And there's always the question there, how much longer are you going to wait, Lord, until we get our reward and the world gets its? It is coming. Those with the silver tongues of deceit, they will have their reward. We see how the world prospers on the back of the poor and the persecuted. We cry out how unfair life is, as it echoed in those Psalms. But this life is a short time compared to eternity. And that is our reward, eternity in heaven. So let us rejoice. Rejoice about the reward in heaven and the reward that we receive now. Let us pray for those who do not yet know of their salvation, do not yet know what is being offered to them through Jesus. The woes are warning for those unbelievers. Through our poverty, through our hunger, through our mourning, through our persecution, let's be joyful, for they are looking on to us. For Jesus looked towards his Father on the cross. In all the ages, Christians are abused, tortured, and persecuted. But even in the midst of all their suffering, that joy is seen by the world, and many may turn to Christ through that witness. As the centurion remarked, as he stood by that cross and saw Jesus die, he said, "Surely this was a righteous man, the Son of God." We are witnesses when we rejoice, witnesses through our joy. There are onlookers as we go about our daily lives. Yes, we do weep. Yes, we do get hurt. But there is that inner joy that God has given us. Let us celebrate, for we are a chosen people. Amen.